This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program, and again, greetings this morning, and welcome to our lesson today. We're glad you've tuned us in. If you would like to contact me, again, I will give you my mailing address and website address at the close of the program. You can re-listen to this program on my website. I will send you a copy of it on a CD if you'll write to me. And again, if you would like to be placed on the free subscription list for Grace and Truth, the monthly magazine that I publish in from time to time, you'll need to send me your address. So if you want to contact me, I'll give you my mailing address and I'll give you my website address at the close of the program. Today we're going to continue with Acts 13. We are looking at Paul and Barnabas and John Mark, who are being sent out to do missionary work from this group of Christians at Antioch, where the gospel had been received and where it had been believed. And so from Antioch now, the Lord is going to begin to work into the uttermost parts of the earth. The gospel was to go from Jerusalem. According to the Lord, they were to be witnesses unto him in Jerusalem. That's where he was crucified. That's where the temple was. That's where the Jews congregated to worship the Lord. But he was to be witnessed, they were to witness to him in Jerusalem, which they did in Acts chapter 2. Then they were going to witness in Judea, which was the province of Jerusalem. Then in Samaria, which is the next province, but it was a province that was considered unclean as far as the Jews were concerned, because the Samaritans weren't full-blooded Jews and didn't worship in the same manner that the Jews worshipped, and in the same place where the Jews worshipped, even though they worshipped in a similar way. And then the gospel was to go to the uttermost parts of the earth. And really, this is where the beginning of the uttermost parts of the earth starts. And so we've noted last time that these missionaries were sent out by the Holy Spirit. They were sent out in fellowship with a local congregation of believers. There was absolutely no business deal here. There was no hiring or firing here. There was no collection of funds to send them on their way here, at least it is mentioned. But what is mentioned is that when the congregation realized that the Holy Spirit wanted them to go, when Paul and Barnabas realized that the Holy Spirit wanted them to go, when they were in agreement and they prayed and fasted to make sure they understood the Lord's mind on this, then the assembly laid hands on these men. That is, they identified with these men and sent them out to preach the gospel. Now, of course, whenever we do gospel preaching, we always find out that if the Lord's at work, then Satan is at work too. Although this is difficult sometimes to discern, because sometimes we say that if there is no resistance, the Lord has given us an open door. And sometimes we say if there is resistance, it's because Satan is resisting a real work of the Lord. And so it depends on your point of view, I guess, as to whether no resistance is the God's stamp of approval on what you're doing, or whether resistance is God's stamp of approval on what you're doing. But my own experience is that God will give us opportunities, and then after we, which I consider open doors, then after we take advantage of the open door, if you wanted to second guess yourself, you could, because there will always be resistance to the work that you do. I know that we have already done tent work in some areas, and I remember one little town we went into, we had the approval of the local mayor, who was also the local policeman, and it was a relatively little town, and we put the tent up, and it wasn't long before a storm took it down. And then we put the tent up again. Actually, the storm took it down before we'd ever preached in it. And then we put it up again, and people from the community cut it down. Now, the question is, was this God telling us we didn't belong there? Or was this Satan resisting our work? Well, we assumed that it was Satan resisting our work, because we always get our guidance from the Word of God. And while we don't always know where to go preaching the gospel, we know we are to go preaching the gospel. And so it was very evident in our minds that as we were going to preach the gospel, Satan was going to resist it. And that's what happened here. And well, we have to remember that the preaching of the gospel is not an easy task for this reason. We would like to believe when we preach the gospel that everyone is going to be happy that we're preaching it, and that we live in a society where we're going to be supported in the preaching of the gospel, and where we're not going to be criticized, and where there we're not going to be persecuted. But in fact, it doesn't work that way, does it? I had a daughter who talked to me this last weekend, and she says, "Dad, do you believe Christians are still persecuted because of their faith in Christ?" And I said, "Absolutely." Well, she said, "I went to a birthday party, and in that birthday party, there were people there who were non-believers, and they knew that I was a believer." And she says, "They criticized me, they ridiculed me to the point where I really wondered if I should have been there." And it was because my daughter had been vocal about the fact that she had faith in a living Savior, the only God, who she had believed in Him and she had trusted in Him, and she was witnessing to the fact that the Lord had been raised and that you needed to be saved. And of course, that was not what her friends wanted to hear. So yes, there is resistance to the preaching of the gospel, and we're going to see it here. As we look at verse 7, maybe we should start with verse 5. "When they arrived in Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogue of the Jews." Now this was important because the gospel was to the Jew first and then to the Greek. And the reason for that was is that they had had the oracles of God. They were God's chosen people. They were the people that should have understood. They were the ones who should have received it. And God did give them the special privilege of hearing the gospel first. But when they would resist it, then Paul would always go to the Gentiles. Now, in this particular case, it appears that some were listening. However, the one who was listening, I think, was probably a Gentile, though I'm not sure I can prove that. They also had John then as their assistant. John Mark had gone with them. "Now, when they had gone through the island of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus." Now, this was they were going to the Jews first, and this was a Jewish man who was a magician. He was a sorcerer. He was one who played in the black realm. He worked with the witchcraft and mysticism, and his name was Bar-Jesus. But of course, people will believe anything but the truth, and so he had an influence on the people. And he was with the proconsul, a man by the name of Sergius Paulus, an intelligent man. And that's the man that I think is probably a Greek, but I can't prove that just by virtue of his name. He was an intelligent man. "This man called for Barnabas and Saul and sought to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so his name is translated, withstood them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. Then Saul, who is called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him and said, 'O full of all deceit and all fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease perverting the right ways of the Lord? And now indeed the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you shall be blind, not seeing the sun for a time.' And immediately a dark mist fell on him, and he went around seeking someone to lead him by the hand. Then the proconsul believed when he saw what had been done, being astonished at the teaching of the Lord." We trust the Lord will bless the reading of His word. Yes, there was resistance, but Paul had God with him, and if God is for us, who can be against us? And the Lord had an interest in the soul of this proconsul, who was really a governor of a province of Rome. He had an interest in him, and so the sorcerer was not able to deceive this particular man. And the fact that he had resisted the gospel, and the fact that Paul had resisted him by causing him to be blind, at least for a time, he didn't see the sun for a time, this had spoken to this man, and he had believed the truth. So as you look at this particular story, you can see that Paul was filled with the Holy Spirit. That doesn't mean he had a second blessing. It means that the Holy Spirit had complete control of him, and he was a puppet in the Holy Spirit's hand. So this is God that has done this. He's done it through Paul, but Paul has been a willing servant and has been in the right place at the right time, and God has been able to use Paul to preach the good news of salvation to this governor of this province in Rome. Now, when you look at what Paul said to this man, to this sorcerer, it's interesting that he wasn't, as we would have said, very kind to him. He called a spade a spade. He called it like it was. And of course, I look at this sorcerer, and what did he have to gain by keeping the proconsul from believing the truth? And I look at people today who are resisting the Bible, resisting the truth of God, and I ask myself, what is it that they're gaining by convincing others not to believe? And really, I don't really understand, other than that they want to exalt self and they themselves don't want accountability, why they would resist others coming to faith. If the Bible is not true, then it really doesn't matter whether we believe it or not. It's been a guide down through the years for ethical living. We know that. And if it's not true, it does no harm to believe it. And if it is true, we must believe it. And so this man, by convincing the proconsul not to believe it, may have been costing the proconsul his life. And that's, of course, what Satan wants to do, his eternal life. Satan was a murderer from the beginning. We read that he was a liar and the father of it. And he has no good reason for resisting the truth of God other than the fact that Satan himself was once the favored angel in heaven. And because he was lifted up in pride, he himself has been condemned, and he has hatred now for all who will trust in this Savior that he himself turned away from. But there's no logical reason to keep others from believing on the Lord. If you don't want to believe on the Lord, that's one thing, but there's no logical reason for keeping others from believing on the Lord. And so, as you look at this, you can see how evil it is. And as we begin to look at this evil magician, Paul calls him a fraud, a son of the devil, an enemy of all righteousness. Now today, black and white is not so black and white, and sometimes we find people resisting the gospel, but they do it as though they are friends of the gospel, and that's what scares me. They say they're saved, but yet they don't believe. If you press them, they don't really believe in the inspiration of Scripture. They don't believe in the Trinity. There's other things they don't believe in. And so for us, it's a little harder to discern enemies of the gospel. But this man was an enemy of the gospel, and Paul understood that, resisted him, and as a result, this proconsul, this governor, believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. He trusted in the truth that Christ was the Savior he needed. He trusted in him. He was delivered from hell. He was delivered for heaven. And now he's a follower of the Lord, a true disciple of Christ. We trust the same has happened in your life as well. Now, our Heavenly Father, bless our lesson and bless those who have listened. May all that has been of thyself be retained, and anything that has been of self be soon forgotten. We thank thee for thy love in our Savior's name. Amen. Our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com. bdcministries.faithweb.com. And we do thank you for listening.